We have been preaching a series called Freedom. And today we are going to look specifically at freedom from slavery to the past. All right, so we've had a couple messages already. We talked about freedom from slavery to others, and we looked how that can happen. We talked about freedom from slavery to addictions. But today specifically, we're going to look at freedom from slavery to the past. Now, what is freedom? I'll give you a Bible dictionary definition to begin with, and let's go from there. Freedom means to be free, released, liberated from various kinds of ownership, confinement, and distress, such as prison confinement, political domination and oppression, physical sickness, release from a contract, God's release of the sinner from sin, the opposite of a slave. I think for us, understanding that freedom is the opposite of a slave gives us a great picture. Almost all of us, when you say the term slave, we have in our mind an image we've seen or we've heard of people who were literal slaves. And it's an ugly picture of someone who is owned and controlled. Their life is not their own. You see, when someone is not free, it means that something or someone else owns them and tells them what to do and when to do it. You see, Jesus came that you and I could be free, but many times people, even who are in church or maybe have prayed and asked Christ into their life, are not living free. And I have found that many people become slaves of the past. Listen to Isaiah 43 in verse 18 and 19. It says, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." See, the God we serve likes to do new things. The God we serve has the right and the authority to do something new whenever he chooses. Sometimes as people, we're not so sure we want new. Sometimes we get comfortable where we're at. But unfortunately, sometimes people become slaves to their past. I'm going to look at three ways today that your past can make you a slave. The first way is this: sometimes people become slaves to the past actions of others. Sometimes people live today bound to the actions of others in their past. They are unable to move ahead. They are unable to possess their future that God has for them because they're held by actions of others. Scripture has many stories about this, but there's one story that I want to look at this morning. And if you've been a part of our church at all, you know I like this story because I bring it up every once in a while. And it is the story of Joseph. You see, Joseph was the favorite kid in the family. Anybody here from a big family? Well, Joseph was, you know, to be honest, he was a bit of a spoiled brat. He didn't have to work, apparently. He wasn't out in the field with his brothers working. His dad favored him. His dad gave him a fancy coat that was really designating that his dad was going to give him the birthright. He'd be the one that everything flowed through. His brothers begin to hate Joseph because of this. They were jealous of him. They hated him. And then to make matters worse, as a teenager, Joseph starts having dreams that all of his brothers are going to bow down to him. And if that's not enough, he has another dream. His brothers and his parents are going to bow down to him. The brothers are like, "This spoiled brat. Like, what is up with this guy?" And of course, Joseph, when he was young, I think he learned a lot later, but he might not have been all that smart. He's telling them dreams are going to bow to him. He's the favorite. And then he starts being a tattletaler. He tells tales on his brothers to his dad. Okay, don't put your hand up. Was anybody here the tattletaler in their family? Nobody likes a tattletaler. I'm just saying. Oh, you're thinking about that new. But if you weren't, you know the one. Sometimes it's the youngest. The youngest, what is up with that? But anyhow, Joseph was all those things, but he had a gift and a call on his life from God, and unfortunately, his brothers couldn't handle this, and they began to hate him. You see, they hated him so much, they decided they wanted to kill him. He showed up where they were out looking after the sheep, and probably in their minds, like, here he comes to check on us again, to tell tales, and you know what? We should just end this. They were so angry, they had let it consume them. They were going to kill him, and they said, you know, let's not kill him, one of the brothers said. Let's just throw him in this dry well. And the one brother was actually thinking, you know, we'll get him out of here. But along came a group of traders, and they're like, hey, what a great idea. Let's sell him as a slave. We'll never have to hear about his dreams again. And, you know, if you're a slave for a while, you're going to die. So we'll sell him as a slave, and somebody else can be responsible for his death, not us. They sell their younger brother as a slave. And Joseph could have been a slave in more ways than one. You see, Joseph became a slave on the outside. Joseph became a slave literally in person, but Joseph never became a slave inside. He refused to be a slave on the inside. He knew who he was, he knew who his God was, and he knew what his call was. He refused to let his brother's actions make him an inner slave. What am I talking about? Joseph is a slave to Potiphar. He could have sat there and said, this is the worst thing ever. I hate my brothers. They've ruined my life. I'm just going to be angry and do as little as possible. I've seen people who are slaves to their past. They live under a cloud of heaviness, and every job they go to, they do as little as possible, and everything in their life is somebody else's fault. If everything in your life right now is somebody else's fault, you're a slave. You are a slave to their actions, and they don't even know, and they don't even care. But Joseph would not be a slave to his brother's actions. What did he do? I know who I am. I know who my God is. I know what my gift is. I'm your slave, Potiphar. Let me make your house wealthy. Let me organize things for you. I will make this the best house in Egypt. Now that's an attitude of someone who refuses to be a slave. And he prospered that house. Everything he did, Potiphar looked at Joseph and said, man, run the whole thing. Everything you touch turns to gold. As somebody who refuses to be a slave. Joseph would not be a slave to the actions of his brothers, but it kind of looks like it's going to get worse because Potiphar's wife tries to get Joseph to sleep with her, and he refuses and takes off, and she has his garment and tells a lie and says, he came after me. And Potiphar puts him in prison. He goes to prison, enters a prison now, falsely accused. You know, I'm thinking Joseph should have been angry of what others had done to him, shouldn't he? He should have sat in that prison, stared at the wall, and said, God, obviously you don't know what you're talking about. You put a word over my life that is never going to happen. It's impossible. And my whole life is ruined, and it's my brother's fault and Potiphar's wife. But he refused to be a slave on the inside. And there he is in a prison. But he knows who he is, he knows who his God is, and he knows what his gift is. And he goes to the leaders of the prison and says, hey, if you guys need help with organizing anything, if you need help looking after the rough prisoners, I'll help. I know how to do this. I've got a gift. Oh my goodness, he refused to be a slave on the inside. I don't know where you are right now, and maybe someone here is like, I can't believe I'm in this position I'm in right now, and it's somebody else's fault. Stop. Release somebody else. You know who you are. You know what your gift is. And I can tell you this right now, if you will use your gift to the best of your ability, God will take you exactly where he said he was going to take you right from the start. He's not a liar. And I found out a long time ago, nobody can stop the plan God has for you except you. Nobody can except you. If you give up, it's over. If you quit, if you become a slave to what others have done or said, you will not fulfill it. But Joseph refused. Joseph said, no, I know who I am. And he ran that prison and he prospered a prison. While in that prison, he also didn't just prosper the prison. He used his God-given gift of interpreting dreams and giving wisdom. He had great wisdom from the Lord. And he interprets the dream of the baker and the butler, and both dreams come true. The baker dies. The butler gets back to his job. But Joseph, when he gave the interpretation, says to the butler, when you get back to Pharaoh, can you tell him I'm here, but I was falsely accused? So the butler gets his job back, and not a couple days later or a couple weeks later, he remembers. 2 years later, he remembers. And he remembers because Pharaoh has a dream that he can't interpret, and the butler says, oh my goodness, I know a guy who can interpret dreams. He happens to be in the prison. And what was Joseph doing in the prison? He was still being faithful, using his gift, making that the best prison there ever been. Wherever God puts you, when you're not a slave, you make things better. You make it the best place that you have ever been in. God's put you in a job and you're like, oh man, I always thought and dreamed I'd be in a better job. Make that the best place there's ever been, and one day you will be in a better job. You outgrow that job by making it awesome, by doing more than you can imagine. I tell you what, he'll take you further. But you go like this and you say, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is so-and-so's fault. And you'll become a slave. But unfortunately, you'll become an angry, bitter slave. And you will not go forward. I found something out. People who are completely free inside and know it, they move forward no matter where they're placed. I'm serious. You take a free person who knows their gift, you could place them in a company that's in trouble, and they'll change that company around them. Employers look for people who are free on the inside. You find a bitter, angry person, I don't care how many degrees they have, they will cause issues in your business. You find somebody who's free and willing to grow, you put them in there and you train them. And I tell you what, you can sense it in an interview immediately if you have someone who's free on the inside. They're different. They've been through stuff, but they still smile. They've had people treat them wrong, give them bad deals, but they don't talk about it because they don't live there. People are slaves to what others have done. Every time you sit down with them, that's what they talk about. Every time they get in a place where they're with you, all they can talk about is what so-and-so did to me. They're slaves to other people's actions. All right, here's the key to becoming free from a slave to other people's actions. It's one word, forgiveness. You want to be free from other people's actions in your past? Because maybe today you know, yeah, I can't get past it. Every time I want to step forward, it pulls me back. You've got to forgive. Joseph knew how to forgive. I believe he forgave immediately, but we hear in Scripture where he actually tells his brothers that he's forgiven them. You see, all of Joseph's dreams do come true because Joseph ends up being called out of that prison to interpret the Pharaoh's dream, and then he gives him some wisdom, advice. You need to save food during the good years. Pharaoh says, yeah, you do it. And what did Joseph do? He made that kingdom the best kingdom there ever was because he did the same thing he'd always been doing. He knew who he was, he knew who his God was, and he used his gifts the best he could wherever he was placed. Go ahead. I heard someone wanted to clap for that. Go ahead. Where did he put you? Maybe you've always dreamed, I want to be in a big house, and you're in an old trailer somewhere. And you're like, oh, this isn't what I want. You make that the best old trailer there's ever been. You make that thing the most homey, beautiful place ever. And you sit in the corner and let it get ugly and messy and crowded and overflowed with stuff and bugs and complain. And the reason I'm here is because my last job, they didn't pay me. That's where you'll stay. But make it the best place ever. I got an amazing wife, and I'll just tell you, we lived in an old trailer for more than 20 years. And that was the most awesome old trailer you've ever seen because my wife turned it into a home. She loved it. And yet now we live in a really beautiful house. And she makes that the most beautiful home with what we have and with what finance we have. Doing the best you can with what you've got is a sure sign you won't be there forever. Joseph in Genesis chapter 50 gives a clear picture to his brothers that they don't have to worry. Now he has already brought them to Egypt. He's already put them in a place and they're being looked after. But Joseph's father, Jacob, dies and the brothers are like, oh no, this is it. He's going to kill us all. And they come to him and they say, we're your slaves, Joseph. You know, don't hurt us. Did you know that Joseph's brothers were slaves to their past? They never got free from it. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. But Joseph said to them in Genesis 50 and verse 18, let's get it. So then his brothers came and fell down before him and said, we are your slaves. But Joseph told them, don't be afraid of me. Am I a God to judge and punish you? As far as I'm concerned, God turned into good what you meant for evil, for he brought me to this high position I have today so that I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. Indeed, I myself will take care of you and your families. And he spoke very kindly to them, reassuring them. Forgiveness is the key. Joseph forgave them, and we know he forgave them by his actions. And this actually blows me away. The brothers who hated him, it said they could never speak kindly to him. In other words, they continually put him down, threw things in his face his entire life. Now he says, no, I forgive you guys, but not only that, I'm going to pay all your bills for the rest of your life. What? Oh my goodness, I'm the pastor and I'm telling you, I don't think I could do that. Oh, you tried to kill me, I forgive you. You want money? I'm just being honest. This blows me away. That's forgiveness to the max. It's done. It's over. I'm going to make sure you're okay. Wow. No wonder God took Joseph through some really tough training and then put him in a position where he was the second in command to the world power of that day. God has some great things in store for you. He has a future for you that maybe you haven't even imagined yet, but you can't be a slave to what others have done if you want to get there. All right, I got to move forward. Another point that I believe we can become slaves to our past is we can become slaves to the good old days. Oh, we're going to go somewhere here. Some of you aren't going to like me. This is important. You see, I have met people over the years who have become slaves to the past good old days. Scripture, of course, has some great stories about this, and the Israelites we can look at because, oh my, they went in the same place. You see, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt for years and generations, but they got free. Moses led them out. They crossed the Red Sea. The waters parted on either side. They got to the other side of the Red Sea, and they did a little dance. Woo, we are free. Freedom reigns in this place. They didn't sing that one, but man, they sang. Free. And on the outside, they were free. But we find out shortly, with a little bit of time, they weren't yet free on the inside. And they suddenly had an issue with their past. You see, they were given manna to eat. Manna came down from heaven, and they would pick it up, and they were, you know, when it first came, they were excited. There's food. We're not going to die. But after a little while, they were like, ugh, I hate manna. Numbers 11, verse 5, we read this. They're complaining, and they say, in Egypt, we used to eat all the fish we wanted, and it cost us nothing. Remember the cucumbers, the watermelons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic we had, but now our strength is gone. There's nothing at all to eat, nothing but this manna day after day. Complainers. I want you to see something here for a moment. They were stuck to the past, and they were looking at the good old days. Good old days? Whoa, 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 wow! While they were eating the garlic, The Egyptians were drowning their sons in the river. Good old days. It's funny how our memories forget certain things when we're having good old day memories. You want to be stuck there? You'll never enter what God has for you. Do not get stuck there. The memory of the good old days is always a little off, I've found, with people I've met. Have you ever worked with somebody and they're always about, oh, that's not how we did it at my old job. Well, at my old job, we used to do this. Or, my old job, wow, that was a good job. It's really annoying, isn't it? Like, how come you didn't stay at your old job? Well, you know, they went out of business. Or, I didn't. They have this mindset of the old, and because they're stuck there, they never give in and they never make things move forward at the new. Now, maybe for you, like, well, I don't know if I'm relating to this, and those Israelites, we're not like them. We weren't slaves. But you see, we all have a past, and we can be enslaved to things from the past that stop us from moving forward. Maybe one that you'd be able to relate to. Maybe you're in a relationship now, but you had a previous relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend. In the good old days, suddenly you have memories of your old boyfriend or your old girlfriend. They were amazing. Really? Come on. They cooked really good, but you know, once a week they tried to scratch your eyes out. Like, come on. The good old day memories are not true. Yeah, that was a little harsh for the ladies. But anyways, I'm giving you a picture. Let me go the other way. The old boyfriend, like he was, oh, that guy was so amazing. He used to cuddle me. It was just awesome. And you're like comparing because you're stuck to the good old days. You're comparing who God has you with now. But the real memory, oh, he could cuddle you, but he wouldn't get off the couch to work and you had a full-time job to pay the bills. What? I went really quiet. Oh, Lord, you kind of know when you hit something there. Okay. Do not go back to the good old days. God brought you to where you are now, and you should learn from it. You may have awesome memories of some great things, but they cannot enslave you. You've got to move forward. And what God did yesterday, he may not be doing today. He's taking you somewhere. The past can hold us if we're not careful. But God wants us to move forward. He wants us to press in. And friend, memories and things you've learned from the past, cherish them, be thankful for them, but don't let the false good old day memory hold you. Let it go, move forward. Okay? God has great things in store, and you won't reach them if you don't go with him. Freedom from the good old days. Those Israelites we were talking about, they didn't just stop at, oh, I wish we had all that good food. They ended up at the very borders of the Promised Land. It was called the Promised Land because it was the land they were promised, the land flowing with milk and honey. It was going to be the greatest thing they had ever seen. They sent in 12 spies to check it out, and 10 of them came back and said, that land is the greatest land we've ever seen, but there's giants. And we will likely all die, blah, 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 blah. Only 2 people said, no, 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 God can take us, God can do it. The people chose to believe the evil report. I want you to see this. They are on the very edge of one of the greatest miracles, and one of the greatest entering into promises and overflow, right on the edge. But there's a problem. They're slaves on the inside still, and they can't see it. And in Numbers 14, verse 1, after hearing these reports, here's what happens. It says, the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in this wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us into this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Then they plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Oh. slaves to their past. How can they have any good old day memories from that? God is on the edge of taking them somewhere great, and they realize, oh, this isn't going to be just like, you just hand it all to me. There's going to be a little bit of fight, and there's some giants. Church, God has something great for you. There's going to be a little bit of fight. There's going to be a couple giants. But if he wants to take you in, go. Don't you dare go back. Are you afraid of a giant? Are you afraid of a fight? Okay. He didn't tell you to go alone. He didn't tell you to do it yourself. He said, I'm going to take you in. Tell him, I'm a little afraid, God, but you said you're taking me in. Let's go. Like, well, I don't know how to fight. That's okay. He said he'll fight your battles for you. It's okay. He said he'd fight for you where he wants to take you. You don't have to be a fighter. You just have to be someone who has faith and is not afraid to step in. This is good news, isn't it? I can just say this, just so you know, I was never a fighter. I didn't like fights. I didn't like watching fights, seeing fights. I was not a fighter. But I serve a God who is strong and able, and if he says go in, even where there's some giants, I'm like, woo, let's do this. And I found out God is so good that sometimes he'll just put somebody with you who knows how to fight a little bit. And you know, my wife and I make a great team pastor in this church, but God has also brought others in. And I pastored here for about a year, and God brought along Pastor Bruce to join us and his wife. Pastor Bruce is a little bit of a fighter. You got to be careful, you know? But hey, what if I'd have just said, no way, that's way too scary. Pastoring's way too scary. You know, there's sheep bite sometimes. I don't want to do this. I said, okay, God, let's do it. And he knew what we'd need. Church, whatever your personality, don't be afraid to go into what he has next. Do not be afraid. When you see a giant, don't give up. When you see something impossible, realize, ah, we're about to see a miracle. Because this isn't my idea. I didn't say we should do this. He did. Miracles are awesome. But did you know miracles happen when it's impossible? You want lots of miracles in your life? That means you're going to have lots of impossible situations. That's when miracles happen. Somebody's like, yeah, maybe I don't want so many. No. When you're facing an impossibility, you're following God, get ready for a miracle. Don't be a slave to your past. God answers the people back with one of the worst answers I've ever seen in Scripture. I don't even like this portion of Scripture, but I'm going to read it to you because it's what happens when you're a slave to the good old days. Number 14, 28. Now tell them this. It's the Lord speaking. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. You will all drop dead in this wilderness because you complained against me. Every one of you who is 20 years old or older and was included in the registration will die. You will not enter and occupy the land I swore to give you. The only exceptions will be Caleb, the son of Jephthah, and Joshua, the son of Nun, because those two said we can do it. You said your children will be carried off as plunder. Well, I will bring them safely into the land, and they will enjoy what you have despised. Being enslaved to the good old days despises the day the Lord has given you right now. Do you hear me? The very longing to be back there and looking at this as horrible or not as good is despising where God has put you right now. My old job, my old church, my whatever. Stop it. Say, thank you, God, for where you've placed me right now. I know who you are. I know who I am. I know what my gifts are. And I'm going to make this the best place ever. You choose that, and God is setting you up for something even greater. I know we have a group of people. You are never going to die in the wilderness because you are not afraid to step forward. And I want to say this right now. This thing that happened to the Israelites was not an age thing. Yes, as people get older, it's sometimes more difficult for change. But it was not an age thing. It was a slave thing. You see, those younger generation hadn't been slaves. If they had, they were just the kids of slave parents. And they were able to let go. They were able to not be enslaved to what was. And I got some great news. The Joshua and Calebs, there are Joshua and Calebs in this church. Older people who have said, you know what? We're doing it way different than I remember, but I'm okay. Let's go forward. Let's do it. Let's see people saved. And if God wants to do it differently than he did when I was doing it, I'm okay with it. Joshua and Calebs don't just go in. I'm speaking to the older generation. They don't just go in. They bring a bunch of younger people with them. That is what is so awesome. I've seen older people in our church, man, when they press in, a whole bunch of others come with them because they have family, they have relatives, they have nephews, nieces, uncles, grandkids, and they come with them. If you're here and you're a bit older, you need to know this. When you move forward, there's a whole bunch of people behind you saying, hey, if grandpa and grandma think this is good, we need to keep going. Don't ever doubt it. Fighting to keep what is long past is futile and a form of slavery. You will work and strive to hold on to the good old days, and in the process will hinder or even stop the new and amazing thing God wants to do in you and through you. Don't do it. Galatians 5:1, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. There is no greater picture than what I'm about to share with you of the good old days being done and the new beginning. You see, God himself gave his people a covenant, and he declared it, and he spoke it, and he wrote it on tables of stone. And he said, this is what I want you to do. This is how you're supposed to do it. Here's the sacrifices you will do. And then he comes along and says, all right, I'm doing a new thing. I'm making a new covenant. The old is done. Hebrews 8:13, when God speaks of a new covenant, it means he has made the first one obsolete. It is now out of date and will soon disappear. Do you know that God's people struggled with this? So many, generation after generation, doing the old covenant, the sacrifices and the daily routines, and a new covenant comes, and they aren't ready for it. Paul was a great example of someone who couldn't let go of the past good old days. It was a new covenant, but he didn't know it yet. And he ends up killing Christians, taking them to prison while they will surely die. And he goes off to Damascus to get some more. And then he meets Jesus. And Jesus strikes him to the ground. He says, Paul, it's hard for you to fight me. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he says, who are you, Lord? It's funny, when you have an encounter with the Lord, some reason, even though you don't know him, you know who it is. Who are you, Lord? Jesus totally transforms Paul's life simply by telling him, hey, I'm doing a new thing. You're fighting me. The old is done. Paul goes from being the worst Christian killer, putting him in prison guy, trying to eradicate Christianity, stomp it out, to the guy who tries to make the most Christians in the most churches anywhere. Ooh, I tell you what, I kind of like those Paul people. They're super annoying when they're against you, but oh man, when they figure it out, ho, oh, look at someone and say, those Paul people are okay. Oh, they just need a revelation sometimes. Get a revelation. Paul was so stuck on the past because he didn't know there was a new thing happening. When he got it, he got it. If I can help you get this, it could change your life. If you're someone who's been stuck in the past, this can literally transform you. If you learn how to let go, if you learn how to give it to God and move ahead. And this is my last point that's going to bring us to the end as quickly as I can. We sometimes can become slaves to our past mistakes. So I said slaves to what others have done, slaves to the good old days, but also slaves to our past mistakes. Many people live in guilt and condemnation because of their past mistakes. They're bound and they're unable to move forward. Oh, I want to do this, but the old devil brings about, oh yeah, but remember what you did? Remember what happened? Oh, you can't do that. You failed before. And they stay in bondage, unable to move ahead. Let me quickly give you some scripture. Psalm 103:12 says, He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. They're not talking globe east and west. We're talking straight line east and west. They never meet. They're removed from you. Hebrews 10:17. Then he says, I will never again remember their sins and their lawless deeds. If you've brought it to him, he's forgiven you. He does not remember it. So you could, if yesterday you said, Lord, you know, I bring this to you, I repent of it, I forgive me, he forgives you. If you bring it up today, he's going to say, I don't remember that. It's dealt with. Now, you've heard me preach. You know I'm not ever preaching sin is okay, do whatever you want, and just say forgive me. You know that. But there are people who live bound because of the mistake they made years ago, and they're unable to move ahead. Don't you dare stay there. Micah 7:18 says this, where is another God like you who pardons the sins of the survivors among his people? You cannot stay angry with your people, for you love to be merciful. Once again, you will have compassion on us. You will tread our sins beneath your feet. You will throw them into the depths of the ocean. This is a poetic picture that says they are gone. You will not find them again. I don't know what happened in your past, what mistakes you've made, but if you've brought them to the Lord, you've asked him to forgive you, he's forgiven you, they're done, don't let them hold you back. Maybe you need to forgive yourself. Maybe you need to realize, okay, he said it's over, and a new day has begun. They're gone forever. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, God makes us new creatures. He doesn't just fix us up a bit. He doesn't just patch it all up. You're not an old sinner who's been patched up. You're a new creation, brand new, forgiven and free. Maybe for the guys, I can give you a picture. It's like if you go to the tire shop and you keep putting patches on the old tire, it kind of runs, but it's looking rough, man. It's getting smooth. There's some wires poking out. You're like, just put another patch on it. Or you go in there and you buy brand new tires for the whole truck. You get the really wide ones with the really big treads and the fancy rims. Woo! Forget the patch-up stuff. He doesn't just fix you up. He makes you new. The old bald tire wire sticking out you is done. That's over. As we finish today, we're talking about being free from our past. Maybe you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life and change you. Because you see what we're talking about today, I am not preaching a message, you should try harder, be better. It's all about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. No. I'm telling you the truth from his word, and I'm telling you there's a solution, and his name is Jesus Christ. He paid the price for the freedom that you and I can live in every single day. The freedom from what others have done, the freedom from the good old days, the freedom from your mistakes. He paid for it on a cross. He hung there, and he died in our place, his body beaten, his blood shed. And he didn't do it so that we could just get by struggling in slavery for the rest of our lives till one day we get to heaven. Instead, he came to set us free. And I believe every person here needs to be free, and I believe it begins with salvation. So if you're here today and you have not asked Christ to come in and forgive you, if you would say, I'm not a follower of Christ yet, I'm going to tell you, you need to be, and it's really simple. See, Jesus paid all that price, and he said, it's here, it's free. The way to receive it is this. If you believe, right here, you believe that he truly is the Son of God, he died for you and rose again, then you need to take words. And when you do that, you've received it. That's why here at church, every time we do a prayer that allows you to use words for what you're feeling right here. And we're going to do that again today. If you haven't done this yet, or if you're like, okay, I'm ready, I want you to join in. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. And I do ask the rest of the group to join in, as we're not singling anybody out here. So let's pray right now. Bow your heads, repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my past. Make me new. I choose to follow you. Amen. Give God praise for that.